Well, I've been thinking a lot lately about all the things that my mom has done for me over the course of my life that would cause me to realize her great love for me and her care for me. And it goes from a range of a variety of things, from the things that she's done for me, the ways that she's put up with me, and the things that she's dealt with, the things that I've done to her. And in all those moments, I experienced her love. Take, for example, when we were kids. She would always take my brother and me to Kings Island in June, and we'd get to take a friend. And she would spend the whole day entertaining us and letting us go off and do whatever we wanted to do. And she would sit by the Eiffel Tower to meet us when she needed to. And then she'd go down and go into the cool area to watch the ice skating stuff while we went off and rode roller coasters. And I got to tell you, if she would choose to be somewhere on that day, it probably wouldn't be first Kings Island. But she did that for my brother, and she did that for me. I remember all the times that she went to my basketball games in high school and junior high and traveled to see us play. And we were awful. We were horrible. We were wretched. And I'm not sure I was that good of a player either. But she went because she cared for me and loved me. I remember that she would stay up at night because I was a big sports fan and a big sports nut and watch NBA basketball with me on a school night till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. And she would cheer for my favorite team along with me as if she loved them just as much as I did. And I knew if it wasn't for me, she could care less about that kind of stuff. I even remember times when she would just cook up a storm, which is just about every time I'd show up, and all my friends would want to come out to our house on Friday nights because my mom was cooking, and she'd make so much food, there would be some left over for the next day. I remember times where she had to put up with me, times where I literally almost destroyed my dad's brand new 1985 Ford Bronco as I rolled it over in the ditch, and she did nothing but receive me gracefully and an understanding and a care for me. I remember when she caught me running a basketball pool for the NCAA tournament in the high school, and she was a teacher, and she walks through the hallway seeing her son exchanging money with somebody else out of his locker. Now, there's a lot of things that run through your mind when you see your child exchanging money in his locker with other people. Thankfully, it was only me running a basketball pool. I remember her putting up with all these kinds of things. I remember the sacrifices that she made. I remember the day that my brother and I were just acting like we normally did, and that was being a pain in the rear end, and I had this little aluminum foil wrapper left over from a Hershey Kiss, and I was playing keep away with my brother. And, you know, we spend all these hundreds of dollars on toys to entertain our kids, and in that moment, all we needed was a little piece of aluminum foil. So to keep it from my brother, I was shoving it in my ear hole. I mean, I'm a brilliant guy, all right? I mean, this is where my smarts come from, But so I'm sticking this aluminum foil in my ear, and then every once in a while he leaves, I'll get it back out again and tease him with it. Only one problem is that at one point in time when I put it back in my ear, it wasn't coming back out again. And so she had to rush me to the emergency room down in Children's Hospital because her son was being unintelligent. And she spent the day at the emergency room helping me get this piece of tin foil out of my ear. While we're at the hospital, we're on the second floor. She gets onto the elevator for us to go downstairs, only I'm not paying attention. I don't bother to get on the elevator with her. And remind you, I'm a young child. And all of a sudden she turns around, and to her horror, the doors of the elevator close as she sees me still standing there in the hallway. And so moments later, she's coming, running up the stairs, bursting out in tears, and giving me a hug like she never would see me again. And in those moments, I'm reminded of my mom's great capacity of love for me, of the way she's cared for me, the things she's done for me, the things that she's put up with and endured for me and through me, that she has this amazing love for me because I'm her child. And today it reminds me of God's amazing love for me as well. God has an amazing love for you. And God has an amazing love for all of us because He too calls us a child. He too calls us son or daughter. He is our spiritual father. In 1 John, the apostle writes this, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." What a cool statement. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, friends. Sisters and brothers, now we are children of God, and we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Now, I know that I have been blessed by the love of an earthly mother. And if I have felt that, how much more is the case that I should feel the love from a heavenly parent? In other words, the love that my mom has for me, how great it is, pales in comparison to the love that God has for me, my heavenly Father. I mean, we're talking about the God of the universe. And the God of the universe calls you son, calls you daughter. And that illustrates for us, especially on a day like today, the deep and heartfelt emotional feelings and love and attachment that our God has for us. When we stub our toe in life, He's there to pick us up. When we cry in our life, He walks with us. He supports us. He goes to the movies with us. By the way, one of the greatest ways my mom ever showed love to me, and I'm telling you, this is real simple steps. Ladies, if you ever want to show love to your 12 or 13-year-old son, because it's a struggle sometimes when they're that age, you take them to see Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger. My mom not only took me to this movie, but she sat through this movie with me. And today I have that memory. Ladies, if you want to win over your 12 or 13-year-old son or grandson, take them to see the A-Team remake in June. I'm telling you, they'll always remember that. Not because they love the movie, but because they'll still be scratching their head when they're 35 or 40 saying, I can't believe that my mom or my grandma took me to see that movie. And they sat through it. Those are signs of love. And God does these things with us. He goes where we go and He walks with us and He wants to provide for us and give us the things that are meaningful to us. And when we blow it, He offers us comfort. And it's never an inconvenience for Him, just like it was never an inconvenience for my mother. He puts up with our shenanigans, and He's there for us, just like a mom is there for us as well. And His goal, ultimately, is a relationship. And because of that, He's going to do nothing other than spend His existence and our life here on earth investing time in us so that He can do what? So that He can raise us up in His glory to become like Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle John says at the end of this verse. He says, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. And the older I get, the more I realize how much I've become like my mother. I've become like my mother in many ways. I can never buy anything and pay full price for it. There's just no way. I can never pay full price for anything, no matter how badly I need it. I'm going to wait for a sale, or I'm going to go to another store to find out if there's a better price. When you walk into a store, I never shop from the front. I always go right to the back where the what rack is? The clearance rack. And I start from the clearance rack and I work my way forward. It's like this disease I have. I can't pay full price for anything. And my mom has instilled in that. Always look for the sale. And you don't buy things that you need right now, because if you buy them when you need them, you're always going to pay too much. So you buy things now because they're on sale, not because you necessarily need them right now. That can get you in trouble too, by the way. She always taught me not to put things off. She says, never do something tomorrow that you can do today, because if you do it today, you'll have a better day tomorrow because it'll be done and you won't spend today worrying about what you should be doing today instead of doing it tomorrow. She taught me things like always double check your work. Never just race through it. Always go back and look at it. Cross your T's and dot your I's and make sure everything looks right and is done the way it should be done or the way you want it to be done. Walk in life with confidence. She's taught me the confidence that I have in my life today. And then most importantly, she walked with a love for God and has taught me to have a love for God. In other words, the older I get, the more I realize how much I've become like her. And God wants the same thing with you. He wants you to walk with Him so closely that you literally become like Him. That because He loves you, you take on more of His characteristics and qualities. His love for us is literally a conduit of not only His blessings, but it's a conduit of His character. It's a conduit of who He is and what He wants us to become like. And that's what 1 John says. He says, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Now some of us at this point in time are saying, Pastor John, this is great that you had this kind of relationship with your mom. But Pastor John, I don't remember my mom. Or Pastor, I just remember having a terrible relationship and a falling out with my mom. And there's just such an empty space, or there's just a void there right now. I just don't have that kind of good relationship. And I don't have that loving example to help me relate to how much God loves me. Well, here's the good news if that's where you are in your life. And there are some of us that are like that. And my heart goes out to you. What you need to hear today and what you can share with anyone who's in that situation in this moment is that, thank God, we have a loving spiritual parent who is more able to fill this void in our hearts than any earthly relationship that can give us. In other words, God's love can fill the void in my heart better than my mom's love can for me, better than my dad's love can for me, because God's love and capacity to love is far greater than any earthly relationship we could ever have. So praise be to God that we have Him there to fill any void we have relationally here on earth. Now, on a day like this, Mother's Day, it's always filled with a mixed bag of emotions, as I've alluded to. It's filled with a lot of folk with a sense of joy and appreciation. But for some others, it's also filled with deep hurts and longings and disappointments. In other words, take, for example, the years of infertility that Aaron and I dealt with when we were first married. Aaron got to the point where Mother's Day was one of the most dreaded days of the year, because it was one more day to be reminded of the heartbreak of losing a child that we never had. And it just triggered that heartbreak every year when we came to it. And inside of Aaron, this is why, because inside of Aaron there is this enormous capacity to love, this motherly instinct and desire to take this love that is in her and to project it onto a child that could be born of her from God. And because she had this enormous capacity of love bursting out of her, and then we had this barrier of infertility because there's nobody to give it to, there was just this devastation in her heart and in my heart as well. Why is that? Because the very nature of love is to give it away. The very nature of love is to pass it along to somebody else. And when we have this enormous capacity to love and we have nobody to love, it leads to devastation and despair. It leads to lostness and loneliness. And that's what we went through in those times. And praise be to God, He brought blessings into our life with our five children. As a mother, as a grandmother, you ladies have an opportunity to be reminded of what it means to have a huge capacity to love. That's what mothers are. That's what we celebrate on Mother's Day. This huge capacity to want to share it with somebody else. And God is the same way, except for bigger. If you think that mothers and grandmothers have an enormous capacity to love, then God has a ginormous capacity to love. I mean, think about the capacity of love that our God has for us. It's in His very nature. It's who He is. And 1 John tells us that. The Apostle John says, "We know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him, and God in her." What the Bible tells us is that God's desire to share His love is His supreme work on this earth and in this life. He has such a great capacity to love that His greatest desire is to share that love with others. So He had you. He had children. He had sons and daughters. That's why you were made. That's why you were created, because He wanted an object of His desire. He wants a loving relationship with you. And before you were ever born, before you were a glint in the eye of this earth, He loved you and had plans for you, and He had you in mind. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing capacity our God has to love us, which is why we were created. The Apostle John goes on to say, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us first and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. Isn't this cool? That the very first reason God created us wasn't for us to love God, but God created us to love Him first. And I think we get this wrong sometimes. I think we picture a God who tends to be a slave driver or has all these demands or all these expectations of us on how we should live and live this life and has all these commands for us. But in reality, we have a loving Father who first created us to love us. Our existence here is because God wanted to create somebody to pass His love along to. And that's the first and greatest reason why you were created. That's your purpose for being here. You were created to first be loved by God. And I remember as a parent when Isabel and Elizabeth were first born. Now, we had the opportunity of knowing Tawna and Austin and Haley before they came into our life through adoption. But I didn't know Isabel before she was born. I didn't know Elizabeth before she was born. And I got to tell you, I loved them from the very second we knew we were pregnant. I loved them from the very second before we even knew we were going to be able to conceive in those moments. I had a love for them no matter what they looked like or how they were going to turn out when they came out of that womb. I mean, I was just ready to love them, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter to me. It didn't matter what they were going to do in their future, how they were going to act, how they were going to respond. I just had a love for them. And when they were first born, I didn't look at them and say, "You're going to love me." And I pick them up and look at them in the eye and shake them and say, "You better love me right now." No, I just gave them love. I mean, I've been loving my children ever since. And it doesn't matter whether they respond back to me or not. I'm going to give them love. And that's what true love does. True love gives itself away first. And a mom's desire, my wife's desire in that moment, was to love our children and continue to love them. And it's the same with God. As parents, we give love first, and God does the same thing for us. He loves us first, and His great desire is that we would love Him back. Sure, I want my kids to love me back, but that's not going to keep me from loving them first. And for a mother, there is no sacrifice too big to supply the needs for her child, and God is the same way. There was no sacrifice too big to provide the needs for you and for me. And so the sign of His great love is that He was going to do whatever it took to make life right for you and for me. The sign of His great love is that He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And what an amazing example of love that is. And when you encounter this kind of amazing love, it's got to change you. You can't encounter this kind of amazing love and not have it impact your life. This kind of love, God's love, changes us. The Bible tells us that it compels us, it moves us, it controls us, it rules our hearts. Right out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, and I'm going to read it to you in several different versions of the Bible, the same verse, chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us." In another version he says, "We are ruled by Christ's love for us." In yet another version he says, "The love of Christ controls us." He goes on in the Message translation and says, "Christ's love has moved me to such extremes that His love is the first and last word in everything that I do, everything that we do." In other words, what he's saying is when we encounter this kind of love, it changes us. A profound and deep effect of loving affection deep inside of our hearts that gives us a new perspective, a new outlook on life. It teaches us new ways that we should live, and it affects how we live. It alters our perceptions of reality and our life and our perceptions of others and how we treat them. And for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to introduce to you to the Tuohy family. And the Tuohy family is mom, who is Lee Ann, and her husband. And Lee Ann Tuohy has two children, S.J. and Collins. And you see in this movie not only her capacity to love her children, but for her to extend the love that God has given to her into a total stranger named Michael Orr. And because of that, the Tuohy family changes this young man's life because they've received the capacity to love from God, and they pass that love onto the life of somebody else. Let's watch this love of God and how it causes and compels Lee Ann Tuohy to make some interesting decisions for her family. Let's go ahead and watch that clip from The Blind Side. The Blind Side is a real life story of the Tuohy family and Michael Orr. And it's a moving film. It's a moving experience. And you see that in real life, the Tuohy family are God-fearing people. They love Jesus Christ. In real life, as I read up on their biography, they have a love for God, and God has loved them. And it's just a natural outcome that you see the love of God pour out of them throughout this movie. That they take this young man in, and they love him and care for him. And they change his life forever. That's what the love of God does to people. That's what happens when you experience an amazing love. It compels you to turn the car around and add to your family. It compels you to approach complete strangers and to care for them and to love them. That's what God's love does to us. The love of God moved Leanne, and it moved their family to such incredible actions. It compelled them to turn that car around. How about you? How has the love of God changed your life? I mean, it is impossible to encounter God's love and to not have it affect you and to change you and to affect you deeply and profoundly in incredible ways. So I want to share with you four things that we're going to cover for the rest of this sermon series. And I'm just going to tease you right now for the next few minutes for the rest of this morning. Of four things that God's love compels us to do. And then we're going to take the next 3 weeks and we're going to break these things down and we're going to look at them and we're going to see some more scenes from this movie and we're going to hear from the Apostle John more on what God's love compels us to do, the ways that it changes us. First of all, the Apostle John promises us that when we experience the amazing love of God, it will compel us to love others. Oh yes, it will compel us to love others. And Lee Ann is an example of that. Mothers everywhere are examples of that. When they experience God's love, when she experienced God's love, as the love that she had as the capacity of a mother and someone who was loved by God, she automatically loved other people. The Apostle John says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The Bible gives us the very definition of love, and it's one word, Jesus. If you ever want to know what love is, if you want to see love in action, you just have to look to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, it says, this is how we know what love is. This is love. And so it's saying, here, wait a second, I'm about to tell you what love is for the entire world, for your entire existence, for your entire understanding of that four-letter word. Love is Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus Christ did. There's no greater example of the love of Christ and His sacrifice on the cross for us. I mean, God gave us His only Son. And because of that, I don't know about you, but it causes in me an enormous appreciation and an incredible amount of gratitude, this huge appreciation for what God does. And my only response is to love God back. How about you? I mean, my only response is to love God back. And you want to know what God says? He says, if you want to love me back, then you're going to do what? Not only are you going to love me, but you're going to love others. And you're going to love others, and you're going to love me by loving through others. And I'm going to experience your love back, but when you show love to other people, when you walk in this world and you walk with love, when you care for people, when you help people with their needs, when you bless people even when they don't have needs. He says, if you want to love me, you love people. That's what the Apostle John says. This is a natural response. I mean, God's love just pours out of us. Have you ever seen a tower of champagne glasses? If you know what I'm talking about, a pyramid of champagne glasses. And there could be hundreds of glasses in this stack. And all you need to do is pour champagne into the top glass. And it will spill out eventually into all the other glasses, into the rest of the stack. It pours out into all of these glasses as it pours down over the concave experience of the glass and then down the stem and then onto the platform. And then it pours into the next cup and into the next cup. And every cup gets filled by one glass because that glass is overflowing with an abundance of champagne. That's what happens with the love of God. The love of God fills us and it pours out of us naturally and into everybody else around us. And we can't hold on to it just like that champagne glass can't continue to receive more champagne. It just pours out and spills out everywhere. You cannot hold on to the love of God because true love goes outside of itself. Moms, you know that. Grandmothers, you know that. Fathers, you know that. That you cannot hold on to this great capacity to love. It causes to go out of you into somebody else's life. The Apostle John says, the message you heard from the beginning is this, that we should love one another. This is a command from God. Just like my mom loved me. Just like my wife Erin loves our kids, just like we need a capacity to love, just like God needed an object of His love, we need that capacity to, we need that object for us to love as well, like my mom did for me, like Erin does for our kids, like God does for us. We too need objects of our affection because we can't hold on to this love. And you can't have abundant life and not have love for other people. It's impossible. The Bible says it is impossible to have the abundance of Christ in your life and not to have a love for other people. Here's the second thing that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks that God's love compels us to do. It compels us to take action. God's love compels us to take action. One of my favorite Christian groups of all time growing up in college was DC Talk. And they had this song called Love is a Verb. I could sing it for you right now, but you would never want to listen to that song the rest of your life. But they had this song called Love is a Verb. And in the message, basic message was love causes you to want to do something for somebody. It's an action. It's not just words. It's what we do for people. It's not just what we say to people. The Apostle John, again, he says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in them? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with what? What does it say? Actions and in truth. Lee Ann and the Tuohy family had this, over time, an enormous capacity to love on Big Mike. They brought him home. They gave him a room. They provided a vehicle for him at one point in time. They invited him into their family. I mean, it was their actions that changed his life, not any kind of words. I mean, if you asked Big Mike if he felt love, he would tell you that he felt the love of that family. And I got to tell you, I watched that whole movie, and I can't recall but maybe one or two times that they actually used the four-letter word love to him. But at the end of that movie, at the end of his life, where he is right now, he could look back and tell you that this family loved him. Because it wasn't the words that they shared with him, it was the experiences and the love that they acted upon him. It was the actions that changed his life forever. Because you see, love without action is just hollow. I mean, we've had people tell us that they love us, but we don't see it in their actions. And we've had people act upon love to us and never tell us that they love us. And we know that they love us because of what they've done for us, not because of what they have said for us. If you notice at the beginning of the sermon when I listed all those things that caused me to know that my mom loves me, I didn't tell you because my mom has told me 100,000 times that she loves me. I used examples. I used experiences. I used illustrations. I used stories of what she did for me, where she took me, how she cared for me, how she made sacrifices for me. Those are all things that tell me today that my mom has a great love for me. And Jesus' death and resurrection are central to the Christian faith because they are an action of God's love for us. The Apostle John tells us that in order to love God back, we need to have a love for people. You see, we don't have a God that tells us that He loves us. We have a God that has showed us that He loves us through Jesus Christ, His Son. And we ought to do the same. God calls us to not only love people, but to ask ourselves questions. If we truly have a love for people, what are we doing to help people in need? How are we being the Tuohy family to somebody right now? Here's the third way that the love of God compels us. It compels us to love others by taking action, and also to live in obedience, to obey God. One of the earliest ways as children we learn to love our moms and our dads back is through obedience. 1 John has something to say about that too. The Apostle John says this, "This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome." Isn't that cool? His commands are not burdensome. So right now, my 3-year-old daughter Elizabeth is learning how to love us back. She's not at that age where she fully understands what love is. I mean, we love on her, we care for her, but as she grows up and gets older, she's going to continue to understand what the concept of love is, what that means, why we do all the things that we do for her. And one of the ways that she expresses love back without even knowing that she's doing it is to live in obedience and to listen to her mother's voice and respond to it. So right now, she's learning and working on listening to her mom's voice. And some days it's better than others. But it's a response of love. That's what we do when we learn how to love. And so we learn how to love God at a very early age. And our parents display that to us as they expect us to live in obedience and care and discipline and concern. And so here's what God says. He says, "If you love me, you will do what I say." That's pretty point blank. If you love me, you will do what I say. Because the opposite of love, and this makes a lot of sense, the opposite of love is disobedience. The opposite of loving somebody is to ignore somebody. The opposite of loving somebody is to despise them in their direction, to rebel against them in their direction, or to just do our own thing and ignore what they say to us. God says through His Word, obeying Him is not oppressive, but it's actually freeing. It actually gives us a better life. Because we trust that He has the best life for us, so we follow and do what He says. Why? Because He loves us. And so we're going to spend an entire week on obedience. And I'm going to talk to kids, and I'm going to talk to parents, and I'm going to talk to all of you, whether you have kids or not, talk to grandchildren, and I've got a message for both parents and kids that day. 2 weeks from today, you're not going to want to miss this. Bring your kids, bring your grandkids, bring your kids' kids, bring your neighbor's kids, and bring them out, and it's going to be a great opportunity for your children to hear straight from the pastor how God feels about their obedience or lack thereof. Sound good? I'll help you. We'll help each other. Praise be to God. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about that. Here's the last thing that 1 John says that God's love compels us to do. Compels us to love others, compels us to take action, compels us to obedience and follow what God says. And fourth and finally, it compels us to live fearlessly. Listen, when you encounter an amazing love, it casts out all fear. When you have the love of God in your life, what do you have to worry about? That's what the Apostle John says. He says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Oh, and oh, by the way, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. This just makes sense. It makes sense to me, at least as a child growing up with two loving parents and a mom and dad who I knew were going to be there to care for me. Because I remember that as a kid, I didn't have any worries. I didn't have anything to be fearful of. Why? Because my parents loved me. Because I knew they were in control. Because I knew they would protect me no matter what happens. I knew they'd provide for me. And I knew that they would bless my life. Listen, I don't know all the countless struggles and trials that were going on in our family. My parents dealt with that behind closed doors. Everything was all fine for me. I didn't have to worry about a thing. And so now as a parent, I'm going through all those things. And prayerfully, my kids don't have to worry about all that because they know what? That mom and dad are there to care for me and they're going to care for all things. Don't you know that you have a spiritual Father in heaven right now that cares for all things in your life and has that kind of control and has that kind of provision and has that kind of love for you? So why worry? Think about that for a second. What do we have to worry about? Why worry about anything? We have God's perfect and amazing love, and the Bible tells us that that will cast out all fear. So if then we live in fear still, isn't it a sign that we have more of God's love yet to experience in our life? If we have a lifestyle of fear and concern and worry, aren't we deficient in our reception of God's love for us? You see, the problem that we have in life isn't that we don't love God enough, isn't that we stumble and fall too much, it's that we don't know how much God loves us. We fail to grasp and realize His great love for us. Because if we did, we'd live in obedience. If we knew God's great love for us, we would do what He says. If we understood God's great love for us, we wouldn't live in fear. We'd live in peace and love and joy. If we fully understood God's capacity to love us, we'd be loving other people. And we'd be acting upon those things. As mothers and grandmothers this day, you all know how much love you have for your children and your grandchildren. And because of that, we understand and can realize that we have a God whose capacity to love us far exceeds those feelings. How amazing is that? An amazing kind of love that can't be stopped. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from God's love except for ourselves. We have to open our hearts and receive the love of God into our life. And if we do that, the Bible promises it will change us forever. not only will we learn to love our life more and be appreciative and more satisfied with who we are, we'll have a greater capacity to love others. Wouldn't that be great for marriages and relationships in our houses with our spouses and with our children to have a greater capacity to love? Listen, if we have a struggle in a relationship right now, if we don't love our spouse enough, maybe our problem isn't our spouse. Maybe our problem is our relationship with God. Maybe we need to get right and experience God's love more in our life so we can have our capacity to love others grow. The Bible promises us that. The Bible promises us that when we experience the amazing love of God, we'll be better followers and more obedient to God. We'll live fearlessly in our life because that love will change us. And you can't experience the love of God and not have it change you. You just can't have that moment in your life. It's not possible. And today, let a mother's love be a reminder to us. Because I know a mother's love has changed my life forever. I know a mother's love has changed Michael Orr's love forever, Leanne Toohey and his life. And so today, don't we know that our spiritual Father in heaven, that His love, His amazing love, has the capacity to change our life for eternity. I want to invite our worship team to come up for a closing song as we reflect this day on not only the importance of mothers in our life and the importance of those of us today who are mothers to be a mother to our children, but to be reminded of the great capacity of love that God has for us and what that does to us and how that causes us to be compelled to change our life and to look at people and our lives here on earth differently. Praise be to God. As you go this week, go with the reality and the realization of an amazing and incredible love that God has for you. Don't leave this day without realizing that. Make a decision for Jesus Christ in your life if you've never done that before. I think most of you probably have. If you haven't, come talk to me afterwards. His love will change your life. And I pray that if there hasn't been a lot of life-changing experiences lately in you, that I want to encourage you to go and rediscover God's love all over again, to experience His amazing love in your life and see what it causes you to do. I don't care where you are in your life. When you experience His love, it moves you. It changes you and it challenges you. Go this week and have a great week. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock for prayer. God bless. Amen. And to you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.